Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my
home. We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle.
Hey, he's coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Ladies and gentlemen of Steeler Nation, welcome back to another edition of the Steelers Final Score, the BehindTheSteelCurtain.com call-in show. I'm the editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com and co-host, and joining me today is Chris Carter. Chris, it was a really, really strange win. 12-6 is the final score. Obviously, we're going to talk about Ben Roethlisberger's injury. What were your takeaways other than the injured quarterback?
I'll tell you what, my takeaways is this. The defense is playing extremely well for the Steelers. You know, they don't have super-duper playmakers. They're not the 2008 defense that can create turnovers at the tip of a hat. But they contained the Rams' offense at every time we needed them to. I think that despite the really bad pass interference penalty that put them in field goal range late in the fourth quarter, they were able to hang in there. There were a lot of good things on the defense. The offensive line they held in there early. They said they were doing a good job, but whatever it was, the Rams defensive line showed us why they're such a highly touted group, and they gave us fits. But main read, defense played well. The offensive line started to struggle, but Antonio Brown is still, and there's no one that can stop that man. But you know, the injury is really, really looking bad. But defensively, I was very happy.
Well, you know, before we get started with talking about anything or specifics of injuries or units, you can call in if you're listening live. It's 347-850-8581. Again, that's 347-850-8581. Call in. We will get you on the air, whether you have a question, comment, or you just want to maybe basically just get something off your chest. This will be your opportunity to do so. But yeah, I'm glad you brought up the defense. I think it's worth noting that although they did not play against a high-end unit, this was not Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, and this wasn't even Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers. However, if you ask me, when you're playing a subpar team or a subpar unit like the St. Louis Rams offense, you do what they did today, and that was shut them down. So let's look at some of these defensive statistics for the Steelers. I thought that there were some very, very key points in the game. Obviously, Will Allen's interception was the first interception for the Steelers this year, but it also came with the fact that the Steelers got two more sacks, one by Stephon Tuitt, one by Arthur Motes, and so they were able to kind of impose their will on the St. Louis Rams. On top of that, they did a good job limiting their rushing attack. The St. Louis Rams rushed 18 times for 71 yards. That's under 4 yards per rush. And receiving, Kenny Britt did have 7 receptions for 102 yards. That's going to happen with this secondary, but ultimately only allowed 19 catches for 197 yards. That is good defense. And again, I don't care if they're playing a top-end unit or if they're playing basically a high school JV squad. If you're playing a team that's not that good, you take care of business. And that's exactly what the Steelers' defense was able to do today. And they held them to 6 points. Chris, I mean, defensively, I didn't think they did really anything different. I thought they played very basic vanilla defense. I thought that if Ryan Shazier would have been able to play today, that it would have been an even more dominant defensive outing. If you look at some of missed tackles or the lack of explosions that you miss when Ryan Shazier is on the lineup. What do you think that the Steelers did that was able to work so well against St. Louis?
I'll tell you what. One thing they did, they did not shy away from putting pressure on these receivers. They realized Foles is not a quarterback that is going to destroy you if you make one mistake. And the Rams receivers are not elite. There was the one big pass to Kendricks, and it could have been the knife in the Steelers' back. But Kendricks dropped it. That happens when you're playing against a team and you know their strength. And that's just one of the things that you didn't plan for. I'll tell you, they took away the ground game. They did a really good job controlling the line of scrimmage on defense. And the Rams made some plays. Trey Mason's a hard runner. But overall, I mean, the ends did a good job not letting people get outside of them. The defensive backs, they made some very sure tackles today. Will Allen had some really good tackles. He missed one early. But there was a key third down stop that he played on, and he's going to be on my winners list. Check out the winners and losers when we release that after this show on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. But Will Allen, you know, the interception was great. He did his job, but there were quite a few plays where he came up and made crucial tackles to limit the Rams, and that's what a good defense does. A good defense, even if we don't have the explosive guys to take your head off, we're going to play disciplined football and make you earn every play. And the Steelers did not let Benny Cunningham or Trey Mason or Todd Gurley run free on them and get a big score. They did it. They did their job. They held them to six points, and that's such a huge thing. I don't think the defense last year could have done what it did today. I was very happy to see that. I also be happy to see this. Sean Spence looked like he could play some football. He's not Ryan Shazier, nor is he Lawrence Timmons, but he was coming up and he made some crucial fills, especially on that red zone stand that they had. It really looked like they were functioning as a unit in a strong way. It seemed odd when they took off Antoine Blake for that concussion, and he seemed like he was just fine. Though he did take a knee to the head, but with the way the secondary played, I didn't see any gaping mistakes. Overall, they look like a unit that is improving, and they are continuing to improve as the season goes along.
Absolutely. And the last thing I'm going to say before we start taking some callers is it was a victory. Whatever you want to say, style points out the window. Going forward, you can start to worry about that. But for today, they won the game. They're 2-1. They find themselves right in the thick of things in the division still. It was a big victory. It was their first road win. I'm sure that Mike Tomlin's going to spin this in a positive light because of the injury and because of the natural negative tone of this victory after you lose a player like Ben Roethlisberger. And even, I'll say this before, again, that we take callers, Mike Tomlin said there is no update on his knee in the post-game press conference, that he's going to have an MRI. Most likely those MRI results, I would imagine, would be back sometime this evening, if not this evening, early tomorrow morning, and it'll decide the fate of Roethlisberger's 2015 season and possibly the offense, and we're going to talk about that today. But let's get to our first caller. He's a regular caller on all our Behind the Steel Curtain podcast, Vito from New Jersey. What's up, Vito?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. It was a great victory. Pittsburgh defense did a great job holding them to only 6 points. I mean, the offense seemed like they got off to a fast start. They came up with a field goal and a touchdown, but then it seemed like it stalled after that. They really didn't do much more after that. And I guess maybe they played conservative today because the Rams are not a high-powered team that could put a lot of points on the board, so maybe they changed their game plan a little. The hit that Ben took, if you saw the replay, it just looked like the guy was like a chop block that took him down. So I was surprised that with that chop block that he had that injury, because it didn't look like anything out of the ordinary the way he got hit. If you guys look at the replay, you'll see it yourself. So I don't know if he got hit a lot today. I think he got sacked twice. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not sure if he was taking a beating on the offensive line today and that's what caused that injury. But he was just walking on crutches. He's got a brace on his knee. And one of the reporters thinks he could be at least 4 weeks to maybe more than that. So that's speculation
right now.
Hopefully they only miss 1 week. I mean, if we were to play Baltimore and lose and Ben was only out that 1 week, no big deal. We fall to 2-2. That's the worst case scenario. We hope that that's what it is. But we talked about this last week. The guy is indispensable. Because who do you bring up behind him? I mean, you know Vic can't do nearly what Ben can do. So now they got to change the whole game plan around if he's going to be out for several weeks. And where does the team go from here? I mean, we'll see.
It's going to be difficult. And a lot of people will say that the penalty, it should have been a penalty to hit. The player did slip. It reminded me a lot of Timo von Ohlhofen in 2005 when he rolled into Carson Palmer, losing his balance. And Carson Palmer ended up tearing his ACL and having to sit out almost a full year. It doesn't look good for Roethlisberger. If you're just a layman's perspective of the injury itself and the hit and how his knee torqued and stuff of that nature, it does not look good. I would expect Roethlisberger to miss weeks of time. Best case scenario would be a sprain, and I think that it's something where it is what it is. We're not going to speculate on the show what his injury is. However, your question about moving forward, though, they're going to have to change the game plan with Michael Vick at quarterback. Vick is certainly not Roethlisberger in a lot of different areas, and probably the biggest one would be pre-snap reads. Roethlisberger has become very, very solid in terms of his pre-snap reads and reading the defense and taking what the defense gives him. With Vic, you're going to see a different look at offense. He obviously is very comfortable with Le'Veon Bell, whether it's passing the ball. The Steelers went into a very run-heavy set, and that played right into the Rams' hands, because what worked well at the beginning was the spread them out wide. They were looking to get the ball out of Roethlisberger's hands early and often. And unfortunately, when he got injured, they had to definitely deviate from that plan a lot. Now, Vic is capable of winning you a few games. Is he capable of beating the Baltimore Ravens? I wouldn't put it past him. I mean, the Steelers still have weapons. That's what people need to remember. They still have weapons, even though Roethlisberger is the guy that kind of makes everything work. I'm not going to say, even if Roethlisberger would be done for the year, that the Steelers' season is over. I would say that it becomes a lot more difficult, but I'm not going to say it's over. Chris, what's your take on this in terms of where the team moves forward without Roethlisberger for any duration of time?
I think that the team can work around it. I don't think it's a death zone. If Vito, when we were talking off the air, I had to jump off to prep another caller that we got. But when we were talking off the air, you said you saw a report for 4 to 8 weeks. If it's 4 to 8 weeks, Steelers can survive it. They won't have a super duper record, but they can. I think that they can pull out some tough wins. I mean, the Ravens do not look like they're a great team right now. We're gonna have some chances to go in and get some wins. And Vic, I think, can adjust and get us a few big plays. But there's gonna be a lot of ifs in this equation. If the defense continues to play well, if the rest of our offense stays healthy, if Martavis Bryant is what he's supposed to be when he gets back, going to depend on a lot of factors. But I don't think this is the end of the season if Ben can come back at some point. 4 to 8 weeks, I think they can survive that. That should get him – I think the Steelers should get him back right in time for the bye week, which would give him an extra week. And then if he can be healthy and ready to go for that last stretch of like 5 or 6 games, that's the toughest part of our schedule – I think that the Steelers can be okay with the season. But if he's gone for the season, I mean, the Steelers might be looking to try to fight for a wild card spot, or winning a division in a tough race, and then trying to just scrap for the playoffs. But a lot of ifs with this situation. We got to see what's definitely said about Roethlisberger, where he's at, and how Vic plays next week.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Vito. We appreciate it. Anyone else that would like to call in, you can, 347-850-8581. That's 347-850-8581. We have another caller. We have Carmen down in Florida. Go ahead. You're on the final four. What's your comment or question?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Question I have, it's about quarterback like everybody else's. Isn't Matt Castle in Dallas probably the second best quarterback aside from Ben Roethlisberger to run a Haley offense? I mean, it's not that I think he's available, but I mean, wouldn't he be a better option than the alternatives if it's a long-term issue?
Yeah, I guess if you're looking at potential options, it would have been a lot nicer if Castle were still an option. I mean, the Cowboys just traded for him from Buffalo, and with Tony Romo out for a significant portion of their season, I doubt that he would even be a viable option. The Steelers have already traded away more draft picks than they like to, but in terms of finding someone, I'm not going to hold my breath. Yeah, they're going to sign a quarterback probably to be that number three, but to the chagrin of the majority of Steelers fans everywhere, you can, in my opinion, if this is a long-term injury, they're going to go to with Michael Vick, and they're going to promote Landry Jones as a backup quarterback, and they're going to bring in a third quarterback. Chris, what do you think? You do agree or disagree?
I mean, they're not going to go out and get anybody else. If they do, it's a free agent. I don't think they trade for anyone. And you're right. Dallas has got their own quarterback problems. If Brandon Whedon goes down, I'm sure that they're going to want Matt Castle as their guy. And here's the thing. Matt Castle may have played in Todd Haley's offense, but he was an elite in Todd Haley's offense. And what Ben Roethlisberger was able to do with his offense, it's a whole different level. I'd be okay with – I'd take a better chance with Mike Vick with the way he can move around and his veteran capabilities. I'd take the shot with him over – even if Matt Castle was available. I would bring him in as a backup to Michael Vick. But Michael Vick is still my guy going forward, to especially the Thursday night in Baltimore.
Anything else, Carmen, before they go?
No, I appreciate it. That's what I thought, but hey, I think we're okay.
Well, let's hope so. It's a tough pill to swallow. Nonetheless, thanks for the call, Carmen. We appreciate it. Again, if you want to call in, you can. 347-850-8581. That's 347-850-8581. I don't want to let this injury put a shroud over top of the performance that was today for the Steelers. Let's talk about some of the statistics. We have individual statistics. Roethlisberger, before being injured and leaving the game, was 20 for 24 for 192 yards, an average of 8 yards. He had one interception, no touchdowns, was sacked 3 times, and had a rating of 82.6. Michael Vick came in relief, 5 for 6, 38 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, and he was sacked twice. You really saw the St. Louis Rams defense turn it up a notch in the second half and really dominated the Steelers' offensive line. I thought that the game plan changed. It's somewhere in the first half. We're going to talk about that, but let's continue with the statistics. Le'Veon Bell finished with 19 rushes for 62 yards. He did have a rushing touchdown and a long run of 23 yards, which is in the fourth quarter. D'Angelo Williams only had one rush for 2 yards. That's kind of surprising. Pittsburgh's receiving crew, Antonio Brown, went ballistic. 11 receptions for 108 yards, however, was not able to hit pay dirt. He was targeted 13 times with 11 receptions. That's an amazing statistic. Le'Veon Bell had 7 catches himself for 70 yards. He averaged 10 yards per reception. Darius Hayward-Bey had 3. Heath Miller had 2. Marcus Wheaton had 2 to round it out. Pittsburgh defensively, Will Allen led the team with 7 total tackles, and 4 of those, I'm sorry, were solo tackles. He did have a pass defense, also had the interception. They were getting after Nick Foles in terms of quarterback hits. They were able to tally 3 of those, 2 sacks, and again, 1 interception, which was a big one at a very key time in the game. The defense stood tall. The defense definitely stood tall. Just a quick statistic I saw on Twitter from ESPN Stats and Info. Le'Veon Bell is the 6th game with 125 or more yards from scrimmage and a touchdown since the start of the 2014 season. Only DeMarco Murray, now with the Philadelphia Eagles, has more with 7. So Le'Veon Bell continues to just be that freak that's going to get you yards and get you points in your fantasy team, whatever you want to look at it, no matter what. Chris, other than the injury, what stood out to you in terms of maybe some things that can concern you a little bit?
Concerning? Beecham, he was getting whipped. There were several plays where you just saw a guy go around him. But we knew this was going to be the big test for our offensive line. Our offensive line held up really strong against the Patriots, held up really strong against the Niners, who had a big week the week before. But today, especially Beecham, he was getting abused. And that happens when you're going up against a guy like Robert Quinn or, you know, or a guy like Chris Long. Both those guys are elite pass rushers in the NFL. They're going to cause problems. But, if you're looking at him, you also got to look at Ramon Foster. It seems like he was giving up quite a few. DeCastro, early on, DeCastro was containing both Brockers and Aaron Donald. He was moving them off the ball. He was opening up a lane. And he was holding them up in the pass rush. So whatever it was in the second half or even late in the first half, the Rams defensive line, they must have like ate a Snickers bar or something, because they charged up really strong and they started making the plays that their reputation suggested they would. The main keys that concerned me was the offensive line. There were some plays that I'm still you know, Jarvis Jones is playing a lot better than he did last year, but he still has a problem finishing in my eyes. There was one particular play where he comes down the line, he has a free shot at the running back, and he just misses. And he knows he misses. He's not happy with his performance either, because you saw him right after he missed the tackle. He was upset. He slammed the ground. But he really needed to finish. But the glaring things were very overshadowed by the problem with Ben Roethlisberger. Early on, if you were listening to the game, Trent Green, one of the broadcast guys, and I'm not a big fan of the way he does broadcasting. But he was saying that the Steelers' offense was really struggling early. And I didn't consider it necessarily struggling. You know, the Rams' defense was beating the Steelers' offense. And I was like, I'm not sure if that's the case. The Steelers did kick a field goal, you know, after a batted pass. And then the two drives that they had were messed up because of penalties. And you know, like the one interception was set up. I think it was just a long penalty forced them into a harder situation. And whatever it was, we ran the wrong route, and Ben just threw it up to him, and he wasn't there. But you know, the offense to me did not look. Even though this is the weirdest thing, I've never been less disappointed, or I've never been less disappointed about a Steelers offense going 12 points in a game than this situation with the circumstances that they went through and the crazy things that happened in this game. I was kind of like, well. it got the job done. So it's one of those things where it's one of those things where as Steelers fans, we should be happy that we won the game, and I'm not that alarmed that the offense didn't put up a lot of points. But yeah. So the glaring things, not that many other than the offensive line. If we're looking forward to next week, Thursday really, because this is one of those horrible short weeks, there's going to be questions. Can we push the Ravens around on the line of scrimmage and make it easier for Michael Vick? Because the offensive line now has to kick into another gear. But one thing I also will say, Le'Veon Bell looked like Le'Veon Bell today, Jeff. And I don't know about you, but especially the way he was snagging balls out the air and he was running. Then he showed like he was right back where he was when he was dominating the league last year.
Yeah, for sure. And I will say this it was an ugly game. I mean, even the injury is overshadowing what a freakish start there was to the game. And the turf catching on fire and the delay in the game and all this stuff. It was just a strange, strange start. But ultimately, there were people, I was not necessarily one of those, but there were definitely experts and pundits that thought that this was the toughest defense that the Steelers would face in 2015 on their entire schedule. And that includes teams like the Seahawks, that includes the Denver Broncos, the Kansas City Chiefs are on their schedule. There are those that said that the St. Louis Rams front seven is the best that the Steelers will face. And if that's the case, and they can escape on the road with a 12-6 victory, then you take it. And you take that win. It doesn't matter if you win by one, you win by 50. Now, were there some, Cody Wallace certainly did not look very good. And the thing that frustrated me were the penalty issues where there would be a big play. And even a couple for first downs that got called back, it puts you in unfavorable downs and distances. And next thing you know, you're punting the football away. There's going to be games like this. If fans think that the Steelers, just because they have a lot of playmakers, are going to be able to go out on the field and put up 43 points every single Sunday, well, you're delusional. I mean, let's be honest, you are, because it's just not a realistic expectation at this point in time. What's realistic now is the team's got to regroup. They've got to regroup. And I think the biggest issue right now, and I think fans, if you're smart and you look at the game the way that I do, which is a little bit different than those, you have to be concerned with Antonio Brown. And the reason why you have to be concerned is that he and Ben Roethlisberger have that uncanny, almost like that sixth sense ability to know what the other is thinking, what the other is seeing. And you have to wonder, will that be impacted with Michael Vick? Vick obviously likes throwing the ball to Le'Veon Bell. It seems like that's where he's looking to go with the ball. But Antonio Brown is the team's premier playmaker, and he carried that team for the entire first half. Here's a question I have for you, though, Chris. If you watch the way that they started the game, and I say they, I'm talking about the Steelers, the offense, they came out and they ran a lot of spread formations, empty sets, They had Le'Veon Bell split wide. They even had D'Angelo Williams out there at the same time as Le'Veon Bell, not in the backfield, but they were both as receiving options. And it was working, and they were moving the ball really at will. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like they kind of deviated away from that plan. And I was watching, and it seemed like maybe Roethlisberger was seeing things. And, if he's seeing things like maybe they're masking a coverage on the defensive side of the ball, kudos to him, or kudos to the defense, I should say, for masking that well enough that he's going to check out of the play call. But I definitely was kind of discouraged by the fact that it seemed to me, at least, that they didn't continue doing what was working so well for them to start. Did you see that? Do you agree with that, or do you disagree?
No, I agree with it. In fact, it was one of the things I was talking with my housemates. I was like, you know, this isn't going to work if they keep trying to do this. The Steelers have better players against the Rams defense are outside the hash marks. They're not inside the hash marks. And we knew that coming into this game. When they came out and they were spreading out and they were moving the ball, they looked like they were able to just dink and dunk and take what they're giving you and hit really good routes. You know, it was a situation like, okay, we know that we can beat them at this game. But then all of a sudden, we went away from that game. And then you saw our offense start to stall a bit. And we know that our big guys are not going to dominate their big guys all game long. I think it's important to keep a team honest and to give them different looks, because you don't want them to be able to key in on just one thing that you're doing and one style that you're giving them, so that you can try to keep them off balance. Because you want them to be able to keep your opponent guessing as much as possible. But when you're doing really well, I would think you'd want to keep the pressure on them. And it was something that we talked about. You wrote about in the offensive film breakdown from last week. You know, when the Steelers got in the red zone, instead of trying to beef up with Charlie Villanueva, they put more playmakers on the field. They had five linemen, one tight end, three receivers, and a running back. And instead of trying to beef up with all these different linemen and tight ends, they went at them with a spread attack. And that's what worked. And I think that would have been more successful against the Rams here. But, you know, maybe Haley and Tomlin and Ben, they see different things and they think they can get different things. But it certainly didn't seem to work this time around. And at the same time, you also, like you said, the Rams are an NFL team full of professionals too. Just because the Steelers weren't lighting it up early doesn't mean that they're bad, or that if you think that they were supposed to light it up, they put 30 points on the board before halftime. You know, pull it back a little bit. Understand that the other team is going to make plays too, and that it's really hard to put points on the board every drive. I mean, right now, I still say this is one of the best offenses that I've ever seen as a Steelers fan in my life. But take that into consideration and say they're going to make mistakes. Aaron Rodgers last year, and even last year, which was one of his best years, still had tough games. So, you know, people shouldn't read too much into the offense. But I really hope that Antonio Brown, and this is my only thinking with when you were bringing up Michael Vick and his connection with Le'Veon Bell, I think that Vick is coming into this game. He probably got very few snaps this week in practice. If he did, they were probably second team and not that many important things that he had to do. Now he's going to have a full week to prepare. Well, not a full week, I'm sorry, 2 days, because we have a Thursday game. And it seems like Ben Roethlisberger always gets hurt right before the Ravens game over the years, whether it's in 2011, yeah. 2012, it just seems like it always happens. But Michael Vick is going to get a few days to work with the first team, and now I think he's going to be like, okay. Today he came in, he's like, okay, I got to dump it off to Le'Veon, because I'm not sure. I'm rusty. I haven't worked with this yet. Now he's going to have a few days to work with Antonio, work with Wheaton, work with Heath, and even work with Bell outside the numbers. I think he's going to have more time, and we may see him work more. But not that this is extremely important, but I do think that we may see over the next few weeks, especially depending on Ben's health and where it's at, we may see Antonio Brown's streak of five catches with 50 yards per 50 yards a game come to an end if Mike Vick doesn't find that connection with him. I do think that Mike Vick should trust in Antonio Brown, and he should be the most targeted guy. But I'm just not sure if he's going to have a connection with Brown that's going to give him the opportunities to make the plays that he's able to make and that we're accustomed to seeing Brown make.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And now for those that are listening that might be wondering what's going on in terms of with Ben Roethlisberger's knee, there's been a couple of tidbits that have been released via Twitter. Albert Breer of the NFL Network said that MRI is coming on Ben Roethlisberger. Source says that the team is, quote-unquote, hopeful that the ACL, the anterior cruciate ligament in his left knee, is intact. That would be really big news for the Steelers if his ACL was not torn, if it was an MCL. Depending on the grade of the tear, it could definitely vary. But if it's an MCL and it's not completely torn, then there is a chance that he is able to return this year. Jerry Dulac of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette is writing there's no break of any kind in his leg. In other words, a lot of people are talking about, well, maybe he broke his leg or his tibia or something like that nature. No, there's no break in the leg. It's going to be a tendon issue, which if you're looking for a silver lining in a gray cloud, that might be it. Nonetheless, the Steelers win 12-6. If you want to call in to talk about it, you can. That is 347-850-8581. Again, that's 347-850-8581. When you call in, Chris will jump on the other line with you. He'll get your information. He'll get you ready to go. And he will ultimately prepare you to be on our show. Now, we have another call that's being queued up as we speak. I do want to say, what a weird start to this game was. I mentioned this earlier when I was talking about how the injury to Roethlisberger has kind of shrouded everything that happened in this game, good, bad, and indifferent. And one of those is the weird, weird way that the game started with the fire from the pyrotechnics of the St. Louis Rams basically being if you watch the video of this pyrotechnics, I mean, it was probably about a 10-yard spray, and it caught the turf on fire. It's just a really, really strange way, 25-minute delay. And it just felt like you have this crescendo, so to speak, of momentum and a crescendo of energy that's building up to the start of a kickoff of a game. And boy, talk about letting the air out of the balloon. It just seemed for me as a layman watching the game, as a fan, I just was watching that and I was like, man, this is just really, really depressing and deflating in terms of where this is leading in terms of just the energy of the game. It turned out to be a strange game in terms of the score, a strange game in terms of everything, really. It was just a really different game. We're not used to seeing these 12-6 wins with this defense and with this offense. So it's kind of like flipping the script. We have a caller ready. He's a big-time reader and a contributor to the website Behind the Steel Curtain. Steeler Fever, you're on the show. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, guys. Just bummed out about Ben getting hurt. As everyone is, it was really put a damper on my enjoyment of our win. But my question is, one of the comments, I thought our defense played really well. Our defense seemed to be coming together. But my question about the defense is, the corners keep playing off. It's just like they give up chunks of yards all the time to our corners. I'm not sure why they're doing that. I thought that they were going to be playing a little tighter up the line of scrimmage this season. That's the first question. So what's going on with that? Second question is about Michael Vick. I've watched him play over the years. Just to be honest, he's a turnover machine. I was noticing the same things with him when he's out there in this game. You know, he's really loose with the ball. Doesn't make a lot of good decisions with it. What do y'all think the chances are that the Steelers get him to adapt to our offense, stay in the pocket more, and play inside our offense and get the ball there? Because we got a lot of talent on this team. I hate to see Vic has a lot of talent. Just need him to play within our offense and not try to do what Michael Vick's done in the past. Take it away, guys.
I think it's going to be a situation where Vic's not going to try and be a superstar in the sense that he tried to do with the Eagles and the Falcons in the past. I think what we're going to see is Vic is going to stick in the system. He's going to try and do as best as he can under what Haley's programming and what they're going to do. And Vic can make a play. We saw in the preseason he could still throw the ball pretty deep. And I think that realizing that the Steelers have playmakers, and I'll say it like this, I think that if ever in the NFL if there was a situation where your franchise quarterback went down for a period of time, I don't think I'd want a different pair of a running back and a wide receiver to have my backup quarterback rely on to make plays for me. Mm-hmm. And Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, they can get the job done. Now, this is going to be a different, you know, this is going to be a different period for the Steelers, you know, depending on how long Ben Roethlisberger is out. But how good are these two guys without Ben? And people have said that for the past year and a half, 2 years, saying, you know, who makes AB? Or who makes who? Does Ben make AB? Does AB make Ben? You know, or do both of them make Bell? Or does Bell open up stuff? You know, there's gonna be a lot of questions. Can those two be the playmakers? I'm confident that Vic, being a veteran, yes, he's been a guy that's been prone to make turnovers when he tries to do too much. But I think the Steelers are going to be like, look, you're not the number one draft pick that's killing the NFL right now. You're the guy that we brought in so you can know the system, make veteran decisions, and not crack under pressure, and get it to the guys who will make the play. And like I said, there's not a running back or receiver that I would choose over either of these guys to be those playmakers. So what do you think about what about Vic, Jeff?
If I were to guess, I think that the Steelers would be smart to put Vic in the shotgun majority of the snaps. They've proven they can run out of the shotgun, whether it's with D'Angelo Williams or Le'Veon Bell, and it's going to give him that extra time. If you notice even today, and this is largely part to the defensive line that they were going against, but when Vic was under center, his drop back wasn't very smooth. He actually looked kind of confused, and a lot of that came with the new system not getting a lot of reps. That hopefully will change. The short week certainly confuses a lot of stuff. But I would expect Vic to be in the shotgun. I think they're going to run a lot of those quick passing plays that have been successful with Roethlisberger, and just hope that if you dial up the deep ball, which he's great at throwing the deep ball, it's the intermediate routes that have always struggled with Vic and reading coverages and tipping off his looks by staring down receivers. So that's going to be something that Todd Haley and the coaching staff is certainly going to have to work with. But I did want to mention, Steve, before I let you go, your first question was about the defensive backs, correct? And the cushion they're giving at the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, the cornerbacks, how far they're playing. It's 10, 15 yards.
Right, yeah, there are times. Now, I do say that sometimes it is very infuriating, especially in week one. You said I talk about the receivers they were facing and Julian Edelman and things of that nature. And even in week two, you have Torrey Smith, a lot of guys that are fast. In week three against the Rams, other than Tavon Austin, it kind of seemed like the Steelers' defense had a philosophy going into this game, which was based on, you're not going to beat us deep. We're going to make you churn out a long drive if you're just going to get 6-yard receptions and 5-yard receptions. It almost like the defense is like, look, we trust our offense is going to put up a lead for us, and you're going to have to eventually try to go deep, and we're going to be ready for it. And they're almost giving them the underneath route, and it is frustrating to watch them get first downs. But the Rams are not an offense that's prolific enough to be able to win games that way. The Tom Brady and the Patriots, well, obviously they can. Colin Kaepernick proved that really they couldn't. The big plays that they had were mostly catch-and-run type plays with those missed coverage. The Steelers' defensive backs are not that great, and we have to remember that. They are playing to the best of their capabilities, and I think that sometimes Keith Butler saying, look, we don't want to always press. I thought they pressed more than maybe most people think today, but even though they are going to back off a little bit, they're trying to protect themselves from the big play. When you have an offense, well, we don't really know what the offense is going to look like without Ben Roethlisberger, but when Ben Roethlisberger is under center, you have an offense that's going to control the clock. They're going to put up points, and so you have to, as a defense, just don't lose the game. And I think that's kind of like where that comes from. Chris, you want to have anything to add to that before we move on?
No, I agree with that, and thank you for picking up on Steelers' question there, because I forgot all about the DB. Yeah, the Steelers, it's one of those things where we have not drafted. I talked about this with a Colbert article. We have not drafted to be strong in the secondary, and that's just something that we have to game plan for. We do not have the guys who are both fast and playmakers. We have some guys who are fast, and I'd struggle to say we even have a guy that is a playmaker. But you have guys that can play fundamental football, and that's something that I really saw a lot of today. And credit Cardale Lake for this. William Gay, Will Allen, Antoine Blake, they're making solid tackles with the ball in front of them. They're limited to the Rams, especially playing an offense like this that doesn't have a Tom Brady, that doesn't have guys that will pick you apart and with deep balls and all sorts of places all over the field. the way you beat them and the way we've lost to these types of teams in the past is because we do not tackle and limit them from big plays. And Mike Tomlin used to say in the past, splash plays. We got to limit them from having it, and we got to get them for us. Really, the Steelers gave up no splash plays. There almost was one with the drop pass from Kendricks that was in the red zone when he got by James Harrison. But, I mean, they did a great job limiting them, and a part of that is playing back. And at times you could play up. You saw when they got a big stop, especially on that fourth down play at the end of the game. They can play up. They can put pressure, get in your face occasionally. But if you rely on it every play, you're giving yourself more of a chance for the weakest part of your team to get burnt. And they don't want to do that.
What do you think about? We're getting more pressure on now. I can understand it if you just can't apply pressure. But we're applying more pressure now. It looks like we'd move our cornerbacks up a little bit since the quarterback don't have as much time, since we don't have to worry about them getting as deep as we did have to. But I get what you guys are saying, but it was just, you know, at 15 yards, is just, you know, they're just eating us up underneath. It looks like we could start. I don't think our cornerbacks are as bad as sometimes we make out either. You know, they're not Del Rivas out there, but, you know, they're pretty good players. I'd like to see us move up a little bit. I think we could start shutting, you know, I mean, what did we give up today? I don't know what the final score was, but, you know, we didn't give up many points. It's working, but boy, it sure seems like we're giving up something we don't have to.
I hear what you're saying, but I think that they're playing up more than they have in recent years. I think he's made a point to say that we won't back up as much. Now, when you're playing the blitz, and especially on third and longs, like several of the plays where they do back off on, you can give up those plays, and that's what they did, especially on those. My computer's not being the fastest right now, but Jeff, if you could find the third down completion or the third down conversion rate of the Rams, I don't think it was that high. And part of that was because the Steelers were able to get them in third and longs, which is something that is huge, winning first down, winning second down, force them to third and long, and then when they don't give them the deep ball, force the quarterback to either take a sack because he's looking or to throw it under, and then make the tackle in front of you and force a fourth down, and then it's like, hey, what do you want to do? Do you want to punt or do you want to go for it? And I think they do a good job at that right now. Certainly there's things to work on, but I'm okay with the way that the corners are playing right now, especially because, you know, the past few games we've given up the past two games we've done considerably well. We just had a few breakdowns that have allowed some touchdowns. And that was just
thank you guys for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the answers.
No problem. Thanks
thank
for calling.
Thank you, Beaver.
Anyone else who would like to call in, feel free. It's 347-850-8581. Again, 347-850-8581. Okay, so let's look around the league a little bit because it is important that we take a look. Obviously, the AFC North has a big game with the Cincinnati Bengals going into Baltimore, and the Cincinnati Bengals came away victorious 28-24, which keeps their record perfect at 3-0 and moves the Baltimore Ravens to 0-3, and the Wounded Birds will be coming to Pittsburgh on Thursday night to play the 2-1 Pittsburgh Steelers. They're on life support, and yeah, you can say that, and Steeler fans know what that's like. If you think back to 2013, the Steelers started off the year 0-4, and you are in an uphill battle for the rest of the year just to get back to .500. Other news around the AFC North, the Oakland Raiders were able to win in the Eastern time zone, I think for the first time since like 2008 when Bruce Gradkowski was their quarterback. They beat the Cleveland Browns 27-20, moving Cleveland to 1-2, which now puts Pittsburgh solidly at second place in the AFC North with a 2-1 record. But again, a lot can change in just a week. If the Pittsburgh Steelers are able to beat the Ravens on Thursday night, they would move their record to 3-1 and put pressure on the Cincinnati Bengals. What were your thoughts around the league, Chris, in terms of anything like AFC North, anything that happened that might be worth talking about?
I'll tell you what, I was surprised that the Raiders took it to the Browns the way they did. I thought there was going to be more of a battle, but I thought the Browns defense was going to be able to contain them a lot more than they did. I mean, Amari Cooper had 100 yards, it seemed like, in the first quarter or early in the second quarter. And Derek Carr, from his numbers, it looked really good. After Ben Roethlisberger got hurt, I stopped caring about every other game in the NFL. But with the way that the Browns played, the Raiders played, I mean, they just went through two AFC North teams I'm pretty sure that most prognosticators going into the season would not have made those wins, put those in the win column for the Raiders, let alone any win in the win column for the Raiders. But looking at the Browns, now they're 1-2, and you know it's going to be all over SportsCenter and First Take and every show in America. You know, who do you start, Josh McCown or Johnny Manziel? It's going to be the topic because now you tried McCown and it didn't work out. And I know Mike Pettine's going to be feeling the pressure, but Danny Bostic, our friend and co-host for Steelcast, she made a great point this week during our show on Friday. She brought up, I think the Ravens, they're going through one of those times. And when we talked about it on the show, you know, I was like, you know what, I think that the Ravens are going through something the Steelers went through just a few years ago. Because the Ravens, they haven't missed the playoffs in Harbaugh and Flacco's tenure because they both came in the league in 2008. They've had winning records. They've been in the playoffs. They've been consistent. And a lot of people wonder, well, why can't the Steelers be like that? Why can't the Steelers make the playoffs every season? What's wrong with Mike Tomlin? Now you're seeing the problem with the Ravens come through. They had veterans. They invested a lot of money into Flacco. And they had to let Torrey Smith go, which is who was a playmaker on offense that could have worked with Steve Smith this year, but it didn't work out. Terrell Suggs being hurt, they don't have a guy that can back him up and bring some of the caliber they're looking for. Haloti Ngata's gone. That's a big hole in their defense. But Darius Webb can't do it all by himself. I think you're starting to see they have some playmakers on their team still, but you know you're seeing C.J. Mosley. He can make plays, but Justin Forsett isn't what he so far this season. He has not been what he was last year for them, and I'm not sure about the difference. I've studied them very close. I'll take a look at them for film room this week because we got a quick week to look at them. But Justin Forsett has not been the answer for them. I think the Ravens are starting to feel the pain of having to retool every so often. And we'll see how they do it. When the Steelers, when they had to retool, you know, it was 2 years we went 8-8. But all in all, they were competing every year. Now the Ravens are 0-3, much like the Steelers were 0-3 in 2013. And hopefully the Steelers can make an 0-4, after Thursday. But my biggest notes are less about the Bengals winning the game, more about the Ravens losing the game in their own stadium. I'm not sure how many times the Bengals have beaten them in Baltimore over the past few years, especially with Flacco being there. But I know that they have to be hurting, and it's something to be considered when you're looking at the progress of the NFL. And I don't know what is going wrong with Andrew Luck. I'm not the biggest Andrew Luck fan. I did think that he was getting a little too much hype from the NFL. I mean, he's the golden boy right now. But whatever it is right now, man, he has not looked good in the least in these first few games. And though he did throw a touchdown pass late in the game, he did get them back in it. Just early on, I saw 12 for 22, and he got a pick and 100 yards. Those are not Andrew Luck numbers, and they went out and got veterans to help him this year because they said last year that was one of the problems. He was in there by himself with T.Y. Hilton, and they had no one else to help him. I think that's very surprising, and if you would have told me that the Titans were 2-1 coming into this week, I would have called you crazy.
All right, that just goes to show the NFL, man. I'm telling you, I mean, it's any more in the National Football League, it's a week-by-week league, and it's also, I'm not talking about FanDuel or DraftKings, I'm talking about how literally every week you don't know who's going to win, who's going to lose. Every year, I mean, it's insane when you talk about the turnover. I forget the statistic. It's something like every year, at least three teams that made the playoffs in the previous year don't make the playoffs, and every year it happens. Like, you look at it, and you're like, okay, you're looking at the AFC, and you look at the Steelers' offense, and they'll probably make it, you know, the tough schedule. Every year, man, it just is crazy. And that's the NFL, and that's why people love it, because no matter what, you could be a Titans fan thinking the world is ending, and next thing you know, you guys are 2-1, and you're relevant again. And next thing you know, you could be a Browns fan, and you win a game, and you think, hey, we're great again, but then you lose another one. But that's just Cleveland for you. Anyways.
Yeah.
Let's kind of wrap this up. We want to talk a little bit more about what's going on with Roethlisberger, and we want to make sure that everyone understands that, by all means, keep tabs on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com for all your needs for the Pittsburgh Steelers, whether it's the Twitter reaction article that I just posted. Chris is going to have his winners and losers column up here by within the half hour. Everything that you could think of, the news on Roethlisberger's MRI, which is going to be tonight, being reported by Mark Cavalli of the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. He will have that MRI tonight, which means that we will have the results probably by early morning, which means that with a short week, I want to say Mike Tomlin will be addressing the media tomorrow, and that they will be practicing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, because they play on Thursday. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is going to be a fast and furious week of football action. Make sure that you stay with us at BehindTheSteelCurtain.com for all your Pittsburgh Steelers needs. Go ahead, Chris. You get to sound off for a second and tell us anything in terms of the Steelers to the fan base, anything you want before we call it a show.
I'll say it this much. The defense is not dead. 2 weeks ago, everyone was boo-hooing over how we lost to the Patriots and what was us. Because the defense is gone. We are just not the same anymore. Our identity has changed. We're going to be struggling on you. And today the defense did the job. Not just did they carry the team. Holding offense to 6 points in today's NFL, I don't care if it's the Browns and the Rams, worst players combined together, that takes work. And they made several plays, despite the offense not really giving them much after their first few points. So kudos to the defense. Celebrate that if you want to celebrate something tonight, Steelers fans. We can hope for Ben Roethlisberger to be back healthy in a few weeks, and hopefully it's not the season. But if it's 4 to 8 weeks, Steelers fans, this team can fight through it. We have the playmakers on offense to work with Michael Vick. We have got young guys on defense to make plays. And if Shazier is back and healthy, this defense they played well without one of their best playmakers on the field today. There's a lot of things to smile about. Despite the bad injury, hang in there. And it's funny, we're saying hang in there, we're 2-1. I think that's how spoiled we are as Steelers fans. But looking forward, buckle up for Thursday. I think the Steelers are going to have a really hard-hitting defensive game on the Ravens, and it's going to be a fun one to watch.
Yeah, I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens, that gets people amped up regardless of record, regardless of venue. Let's not forget that this Thursday night is when Jerome Bettis is honored at Heinz Field for being inducted into the Hall of Fame. Very reminiscent of 2014 when Mean Joe Green's number was retired, and both of these players have hand-selected the Ravens game for these events to take place. I'm going to leave you with this. The Pittsburgh Steelers are 2-1. They're second place in the AFC North, and what everyone talked about, the team – where they stand in terms of approaching the new schedule, which was very difficult. They said that they've got to come out 3-1 or 2-2 at the worst in the first quarter. They've secured the 2-2, and they very well could be 3-1 after the first quarter. Regardless of who's the quarterback, remember that there are other playmakers that they can lean on. In the offensive line, you talk to any offensive lineman, whether they played in high school, whether they played in college, they prefer to run block. So maybe that is the person they're going to lean on the most. Well, two people, D'Angelo Williams and Le'Veon Bell. You don't want Michael Vick to lose the game for you. Get your running game going. Start churning out first downs on the ground, eat up the clock, and really prove that you're a versatile offense in terms of you don't need to throw the ball every single down to move the ball. This Steelers offense now is challenged. How do they respond to that challenge? Time will tell. But I will say this, stand behind your team. Michael Vick's the quarterback. Trust that he can make the plays. Trust that your playmakers like Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell are going to adapt, and trust that the offensive line is going to give him time to make plays. That's the biggest thing for me. I don't think there's a lot to be negative about other than the injury. It was an ugly win, but a win's a win. The Steelers are 2-1, and I'll tell you what, the first road win, first back-to-back wins of the season, 2-1 seems pretty good if you ask me. Chris, anything to add before we go?
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. There's a lot of things to smile about right now. Look out. Michael Vick could make some plays next week. Remember, he don't need to – again, they're not going to rely on him to be the playmaker of the offense. They're going to let him get the ball in the hands of our real playmaker, Antonio Brown, who is the best receiver in football, and Le'Veon Bell, who's the best running back in football. I think that they can get it done. Jeff thinks they're going to stand with your team, stand with the black and gold. It's going to be all right.
All right, Case. Perfectly said. Make sure you check back with BehindTheSteelCurtain.com for all your Steelers needs. check out the podcast, The Standard is the Standard, with myself and Lance Williams on Wednesday, previewing the upcoming game with the Ravens, and as always, the Steelers final score after every single Steelers game this regular season. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Bye.